Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Hey, we're ready to get back in our Father's Word. The book of Jeremiah, one whom God launches forth. You know, you can always tell when someone has the blessings of God in serving Him. That real gift is a gift from God. It can't be imitated, and you can always tell the real thing, and you don't have to listen very long to find out. Certainly, that was God's case with Jeremiah. He said, I even knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Chose you then. I mean, he knows a good man when he sees one, and he recognized Jeremiah. Okay? And while he was in the womb, he chose him as a prophet. So you can count on his prophecies. He was handpicked by God, and God launched him forth. Now, what he's talking about here is his children, that he gave just about everything, parted the Red Sea, fed him in the wilderness. He said, now that you're out here, you act like a she-camel or a wild ass in heat, running to other gods, other religions. You want to make a religion out of this or out of that. You want to try this little church, that little church, some other little church. It seems like there's one on every corner, and they all teach different. Well, how can that be when we only have one Word of God, you see? That's what he's saying. You run over each other chasing after false teachings, false religion. So having said that, that's where we got to. Let's pick it up in chapter 2 of the great book of Jeremiah, verse 25, word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, withhold thy foot from being unshod, speaking here to the wild ass, okay, and thy throat from thirst, but thou saidest, there is no hope, no, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. Always running after other gods rather than God. I can't stop myself. I've just got to have a new religion. All right. When you've got the real thing, there's only one God. That's your Father, the nearest relative you've got. He's written you this letter explaining to you exactly what you should believe and what's nonsense. So if you end up making a fool out of yourself as a she-camel or a she-ass, well, then that's your own fault. And that speaks of religions that do not align with God's Word. Okay? Verse 26. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, hangs his head, caught in the act, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets. That means their shepherds, they're politicians. I mean, they're all ashamed. And in this generation, they should be. We have a bunch of politicians now running around against God, trying to keep someone off of a court just because they believe in God. Okay? You know, that is, what have we stooped to? Where have we gone that's any different? Okay? It's a disgrace. Verse 27, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, some big fancy building, stone, brick, boy, we got the biggest church in town, thou hast brought me forth. A building won't save you, friend. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble they will say, arise and save us. That's the way people are. Good times, hey, good times, Charlie, roll. Get in trouble and they start screaming to the Father, help me, help me, help me. That's just typical of God's children. Okay? You know what our Father thinks about that? If you haven't met His conditions, which are very simple and honest, straightforward, it's just simply to love Him and listen to Him rather than worship some, you know, He created the stone and He created the stick, and you build up something real fancy and worship it instead of the Father? Talk about secondhand stuff. let's go with the next verse, verse 28. But where are thy gods, when you cry for somebody to help you, where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Those sticks and stones, buildings and everything. Let them arise. Let them save you. If they can save thee in the time of thy trouble, for according to the number of the cities are thy gods, O Judah. And here he speaks over from Israel to Judah. So you've got one on every corner, and they all teach a little different. They all worship a different God, in a sense. Okay. Verse 29. Wherefore will you plead with me? Why in the world do you want to ask me to save you? Or to plead means, ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. You've all trespassed against the word and so forth, and then you've got the nerve to come crying back to me. Now, the irony of this is that God does always forgive. If you're honest, if you really mean it, you can go back to him and say, Father, I've sinned. I've been misled. I've studied wrong. I misunderstood. Will you please forgive me? He'll say, come on home. But you can't go there believing something, a bunch of nonsense, flyaway doctrine, or something else, okay, that man teaches instead of God's word. He won't have that. He won't put up with it. Verse 30. In vain have I smitten your children. I try to correct them. They won't pay any attention. They still go crazy. They receive no correction. You couldn't tell one of them anything. Or you know, maybe why the offspring of a family like that won't take correction. They don't even believe there's a God in many cases. And you can't really blame them too much when you have God removed from our vocabulary by politicians. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. Your crooked, twisted tongue and your lies that you spew forth out of your mouth destroys a prophet or anyone that tries to make a correction to the children to save them, to help them, to show them what's wrong, whereby God can bring blessings. If, you know, sometimes it's kind of sad, isn't it, when parents is the main stumbling block for their own children? God says, I've corrected them, they won't pay attention. You know, there are many good children in this world, and thank God that they've heard truth, and they believe, and they live it, and God blesses them. Just opens the heavens and lets it pour. Verse 31, O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. You look at it, it's all around you. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel? Have I been a forest that you can't see the truth? You can't see the word? You can't even see God? A land of darkness, question? Wherefore say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto thee. We have dominion. We don't want your name on anything in our city squares. We don't want your name on anything that might lead someone to truth. We have dominion over everything. Oh, do they? Hey, you're living it, friend, today. Don't look off some other direction or snicker when the word God is mentioned. He's paying real close attention, and he is not happy. And as attempts are being made to see that things are corrected, you better pay attention. Your Father blesses people by condition. You don't meet his condition, hey, forget it. He'll tell you, let your building or let your stick save you. Don't bother me. You know, so, and you may wonder, well, why my prayers and my children aren't blessed? Well, why? You read it for yourself, didn't you? Can you see the Word of God? Can you see it in action? You should be able to by seeing who is blessed in this world. Verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Do you think a bride can forget her wedding day? What she wore? What was said? I think she doesn't remember that. She said, you would think the way you all have gone into apostasy, because I'm your husband. Verse 33. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? This trimmest means to plot, okay, or to plot a way to deceive your own self if you're not careful to seek this false love, this false apostasy, false salvation, false religion. Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. This loses in the Hebrew. It said, you trimmest, that means you plot thou thy way to seek love. The prostitutes, that's who it's talking about, the professional prostitutes can take a lesson from you because of your unfaithfulness. Now, what God is using here is sexuality to replace idolatry. That is to say, your love for your father. He puts it down where you can relate to it. He said, your practice of religion is so bad, running to apostasy, that as far as Satan himself could take lessons from you. And that's pretty bad, friend. And he utilizes the prostitute and a citizen to say, they can learn from you. You're so good at it. I don't know. I hope you never sell yourself into some religion when you've got the Word of God to direct you. For from it all blessings flow. Otherwise, you cut yourself off. Verse 34. Also, in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search. I didn't have to dig for it, but up on all these, it was out in the open. To mislead a person, to lead someone into a very dangerous place and cause their flesh body to be murdered is one thing, but do you know what's worse? Is the blood of souls. That is to say, to cause someone to lose their eternal salvation is soul murder. That's far more serious. That's why judgment begins at the pulpit for false teachers that lead people away and causes souls to be murdered in hell. Who pays for it? They're going to pay right along with the wicked. God doesn't like it. He says your skirts are full of it. You're caught red-handed. And what it's kind of neat, he says, I didn't have to dig or go around in the secret to find it out. You brag about it, like to play religion. It's not my religion, it's not my word. As he stated back in verse 31, can't you see the word of the Lord? There is a difference. You know, you remember back where this started? He said, you go out rather than taking water from the running well of Almighty God that He prepared. You dig you a hole in the ground and make you a cistern that won't even hold water. You call it your well because you like to dream up false things of how you get saved and how you do this. And it leads to the great apostasy. 35. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee. And what it's saying, I'll judge you. This word plead means judge. Because thou sayest, I have not sinned. You can't be innocent and go off listening to man when you know man's traditions make void the word of God. Makes it void to the point that God can't help you. Or let me rephrase that, won't help you. Big difference. He can, and all you've got to do is listen. All you have to do is obey. All you have to do is love him and ask him to show you the way through his word, so that you don't stand in this lot that a professional hooker could take lessons from you in your apostasy of running away from real truth. Why gaddest thou about so? This word gaddest means flirt. Why do you go around flirting so? So much to change thy way. Thou also shalt be ashamed or forsaken of Egypt, and thou, as thou was ashamed of the of Assyria. Assyria naturally took the house of Israel into captivity 200 years before the house of Judah was taken, and your flirting cheapens yourself by trying to change. Well, I just want to find a new religion. There's nothing new under the sun. That's why you can be comfortable with your Father, Almighty God. He doesn't change like the weather. He's solid. He's secure. His word never changes. He is the same yesterday, he is today, and he will be forever. Now don't go flirting around trying to find something new or different to tickle your fancy and damage your soul and remove your blessings. It can happen, friend. It happens every day to people that like to flirt around because something sounds sensational. This is not to say, I'm not saying you should not be aware of what's going on in the world, but don't try to change God's word. It's written, it's fast, it's set. Learn how to utilize the manuscripts whereby you can document whether something be translated properly or not, because man did that. And you'll never be ashamed, okay? You'll stick with the truth. Don't flirt around with ideas that sensationalize religion and draws you away from the real truth of God's word, Christianity, which is reality, not a religion. Verse 37. Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thine head. For the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. You just put your hands up over your head and hide your little face in shame, because that's all you're going to get. You can just walk away from God. He doesn't want anything to do with you as long as you're going to play like that. Well, I just like new things. Oh, do you? Well, you know, God's word is getting some age on it. Why would you want something new when there's nothing new under the sun as far as bringing God's blessings? It's all right to discover new things in God's nature, but beware when you start trying to change, flirt with the idea of even think about changing God's word. You're looking for trouble, and I guarantee you, you're going to have your hands over your face ashamed as you walk away, because he will deny you. And the blessed, your family will not be blessed, at least you won't be, if you be the instigator thereof. If you want to learn to lean on the Egyptians instead of God, if you want to learn to lean on man rather than your Father, you're in for a heap of hurt, friend, because man will always, I mean, sooner or later, will always let you down, because man's not perfect. God's word is. So stick with his word. Avoid traditions of men that make void the word of God. Chapter 3, verse 1. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Question. Shall not that land be greatly polluted? Question. But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, not just one, many. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. I'll have you back. you know, as it is written in the great book of Deuteronomy, what is 24? Don't, you know, if you married a man and you leave him and marry another, don't ever go back to that first one. That is simply good advice, because if you couldn't make it the first time with that guy, you know, and both of you being happy, you're both going to have to be great forgivers, because then comes in a lot more trouble if you can't let water under the bridge be exactly that, because you'll be comparing her biscuits to hers. And that can bring on ire and anger in a hurry. And if you, but God says, you can do that to me, though. As long as you'll repent, I'll forgive you. I'll take you back. Now, beloved, that is the beauty of Christianity. That is the beauty of Almighty God. I mean, you can really let him down. You can really he can be discouraged with you, even the way you do your children. You don't teach them how to take his correction. Still, you can be out here rolling eggs, laying fertility rites in the spring, which is called Ishtar, and he'll even forgive you that. Okay, and quick like a bunny, these fertility rituals they have in the wilderness, the wild. Like a she camel. You can even bring all that junk right into the church, and I'll still forgive you if you'll depart from it. If you'll listen to me, I will take you back. Now that is, if you can't grasp the love and the true forgiveness in that, I feel sorry for you. Because our Father loves his children exactly that much, that you can really do him bad and he'll still say, I love you, child. Come on home. Come on home. Verse 2. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been laying with. In the ways hast thou sat with them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. You go in those high places in the timber and Ishtar, rolling eggs of fertility and quick like a rabbit, and your whoredoms with any and everything that comes along. And of course, he's talking primarily about idolatry here. Okay, and he utilizes adultery because you can understand that. If your family, one of your family members, a husband or wife, and I'm not even going to pick which one, commits adultery, goes whoring after somebody, okay, that's when you're attacked, he'll still say, I'll take you back. I'll still forgive you. Now, you know what is real sad when you take this down where he's talking about is some church that will let come within it these evil practices and even teach the little children to carry their little baskets for fertility eggs. It has nothing to do with the Word of God. And on the day that is the highest Christian day, Passover, Christ became our Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. And to let some shepherds, pastors, change that day into something awful. Well, it doesn't really hurt anything, does it? Well, what do you think? It hurts our Father. He tears up over it. Do you blame him? Verse 3. Therefore, the showers have been withholden, and there has been no latter rain. And thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. You got, you know, by the paint, this is why people, ladies get all shook up when it says don't wear makeup. It means don't make yourself up with the purplish black that said, I'm when you put it on your forehead, it says, I'm a whore and I'm ready for hire. Okay? So don't go around painting yourself up like a whore. Okay? be modest in all things. But this is what he's talking about. Now listen, this is very serious. Has God withheld the latter rain on your crop? Do you know what happens when God withholds the latter rain? The original, the early rain sprouts the seed and gets the growth on the plant. If you don't get the latter rain to fill out the head of the grain, it will blast, what we call blast, and dry up and be nothing in the field. In other words, you won't amount to a hill of beans. You won't even amount to a hill of beans because your beans ain't going to make. Okay, you're out of luck. You got nothing but a blast. That means dry, brittle hulls. Nothing in it. No food value. Nothing of any value at all. And that's the way God looks at you and under those conditions when He withholds the latter rain. It's far better. Do you know something? I'm going to tell you, this is why God never sends out beggars. And this is how you can prove the ministry. If it spends all of its time begging for money, God has withheld the latter rain. Okay? If they don't have to beg to stay on the air to bring you God's Word, where you can see it, then there's something wrong, see. But when the clear Word of God develops, and that latter rain falls, and that beautiful crop of truth spews forward into the whole world, then you know you've got the real thing, the Word of God. Can you see it? Verse 4. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me? My Father, thou art the guide of my youth. You're my friend, Father, from day one. But can you do that? Now, they haven't been too good at it so far. 5. Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Question. Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. You have done it over and over and over. And you come to me. 6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king. He was a pretty good old king, okay? Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? You took a look at it? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot, rolling her little Ishtar eggs, that is to say, quick like a bunny, believing anything and everything that somebody pumps out to her. And isn't it pretty to see the little children with the little colored baskets of fertility eggs? You know, I mean, let's teach them real well, you know. Not God's Word. Shame. Verse 7. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Now here, this documents that the house of Israel and the house of Judah are separate, and this gives you a time clue, because they don't go together until right before, on the day of the Lord, the millennium, seventh trump. Verse 8. And I saw, he doesn't miss anything, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I put her away, and given her a bill of divorce. I divorced the old girl. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Do you realize that God's a divorced man? He's a divorcee. He divorced Israel. Why? Because of these actions. Well, but isn't it different today? Well, I don't know. I still see the baskets. I still see teaching of fly away to the Antichrist, the first one taken from the field. Where are we headed, friend? I mean, the days of the trouble are coming. Are you really geared for it? I'm proud of all churches that try their best to teach that that is moral and right. And I'm not judging anybody. God is the judge, but he's putting, and when he says, I'll plead, back in verse 35 of the last chapter. That means I'm going to judge you. And he didn't say he was going to wait until judgment day to bring forth the little helpers here. Okay? He divorced her. You ever want to know and prove where God is a divorcee? Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. You've heard me use it a lot of times. Verse 9. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom, the fame of it is what it means, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks, built her little old mansions and called them churches. And look what happened in them. Be sure you're the first one taken from the field, even if it's Antichrist that takes them. I mean, a child can read Matthew 24 and know the first one taken from the field is taken by Antichrist. How can we count on houses so-called of learning that can't see that? I mean, you are taught at a fourth grade level how to read Matthew 24 and know, following the object, following the article and subject, that the Antichrist takes the first old gal that flies out of the field. And yet they teach their people to want to fly. And in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 13th chapter of Ezekiel, from 18 down through 25, God says, I'm against those that teach my children to fly to save their souls. Why? Because God is the Savior. Come on back to me. I'll forgive you. Verse 10. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me. She didn't come back with her whole heart, but feignedly. That means she faked it all, saith the Lord. She faked that and every falsehood about her beliefs and her religion and her love for me. Don't ever try to con God and fake your love for him. It won't work, friend. I guarantee you. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than the treacherous Judah. Judah knew better, and she still did it. That's what he's saying. You know, we hurt our father considerably when he is so good to us and so loving that he says, just change your mind, come on home, come back to me and receive the latter rain, come back to me and receive the truth, come back to me and receive the word of God and be blessed, receive that latter rain and be fruitful, multiply, and I'll bless you, I'll love you. But oh no, you keep playing the harlot and God will divorce you. It comes down to an independent thing. It's your choice. You make your own bed and you sure sleep in it. So you want to be real careful. We'll pick this up in the next lecture. Our Father is opening his heart to us. You know, many might say, well, that sounds hard to me. Oh no, how could you say that? He said, you can leave me and be with somebody else, and I'll still take you back. There'll be no hard feelings. You repent. You can worship something else. I'll forgive you if you repent sincerely. Don't try to fake it. The real thing's what I want, your love. Okay. You can't outdo him for tenderness, for love, for understanding. Get back into this. Many hearts are saved by the word of God and listening rather than people that chase after false religions. You get the real thing from God's word. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived. evening, Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the mark of the beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, hey, lay it on us. You know, please never ask us a question about a particular reverend or organization or denomination. Let's don't judge people, okay? Just teach God's Word the way it's written, and let the chips fall wherever they may. Your hands are clean then, okay? Teach God's Word. Let people see God's Word. That's what's important. So if you have a question, you share it. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world at this time, your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. It's always a pleasure hearing from you. Now, you got a prayer request? We can do away with the number and the address. Why? You're God's child. He's been talking to you in this very lecture. Come on home. Come back to me. I'll forgive you if you really honestly repent. But don't try to con me. Don't fake it. Let me know you love me and receive the latter rain. Receive the blessings of God. Father, around the globe, we come and ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and questions. We're going to go with Connie from Louisiana. Why aren't the archangels required to be born of woman? Because they either earned or lost the right in the first earth age. Okay? Short explanation. Michael, who represents our people, was outstanding. God had duties for him to perform through this dispensation, this set of dispensations of time that we call this earth age, and duties in heaven. Satan blew it in the first earth age. He was a cherubim, which is the archangel class. So where he is already sentenced to die, he did not have the right because he left his habitation and seduced people on earth. He has no right to be born of woman. He, his false messiah, or anyone else. Okay? So, God has two armies. He has one he must operate in heaven, and he has one he operates here on earth. Okay? And he utilizes whom he will. And that's kind of his business. These people were real special, or they were real bad, whichever the case may be. For every negative, there is a positive, and God is always fair. John from Iowa, who was the real Son of Man? Was it Jesus or Ezekiel? Well, okay. If you hear the term Ben Adam, okay, I'm going to say it in Hebrew, Ben Adam, that there is no article there, so that means Ezekiel, as he was called. It could mean you. It could mean any son of Adam, that is the Adamic line. Okay. Well, what does Adam mean in the Hebrew tongue? It means one that shows blood in the face. Okay. Ready complected is what the word Adam means. Okay. So that you know who we're talking about. That's Ben Adam without an article. But any time Ben Adam or even Anthropos with Ben being Hebrew and Anthropos Greek, with an article, it's talking about Christ. Okay, it's like the Christ, the second man Adam, which is to say Christ, as the terminology is utilized in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So you see, it's not really that complicated, but you kind of got to go back to the manuscripts a little bit. Ben Adam, as it is utilized many, many times in the book of Ezekiel, was Ezekiel. But anytime it has the article, it's Christ, okay? Norman from Texas, would you explain 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 15? That's one of my favorite chapters. This is where Paul would say, hey, back in verses 2, 3, and 4, I'm kind of worried about you all, and it may sound like I'm talking foolish here for a minute, but I want to present you to Christ as a chaste virgin, not as Eve who lost her virginity to Satan. Okay? That I'm wording that expatio from the Greek. Okay? He said, I really think Satan's going to seduce you because the fallen angels are returning. And then in the verses you ask for an explanation in verse 13 through 15, it says, hey, some super preacher comes along and you swallow it hook, line, and sinker gladly. But I can pull the rug out from under all of those super preachers and tell you that don't marvel, this is the question he's asking, for Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. There's just one problem with that. It's not, the word is not transformed in the Greek, it's disguised. Satan, it makes a big difference. Check it out in your Strong's Concordance. Satan comes disguised as an angel of light. Why? As the Antichrist. And don't marvel because his little helpers appear to be angels of light. They come disguised as angels of light to seduce woman all over again. This is why Christ taught in Matthew 24, which I said a fourth grader child can read to you, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. They're going to be giving and taking in marriage to the fallen angels again. Why? Because Michael's going to kick Satan and his angels back out on this earth. Woe to the earth, but rejoice in heaven. Hey, we're equipped for it. We can handle it. Just don't be the first old heifer taken out of the field, as Matthew 24 instructs, because she's taken by the Antichrist, Satan and his little angels. Catherine from California. Where in the Bible is the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer? The Ten Commandments originally, Exodus chapter 20 and Matthew chapter 6 on the Lord's Prayer. However, that's not really in my mind where the Lord's Prayer is. That's Christ teaching us how to pray. Okay? His prayer is really in John chapter 17. St. John chapter 17. That's what I call the Lord's Prayer. It was his last time. Father, it is that time. Sandra from Michigan. What are we supposed to call the Savior today? Well, Savior is Yeshua. Okay? Yahweh's Savior, that's what it means. When you say Yeshua, that's Jesus. Then in the Hebrew tongue, where he said, I will send him, Yeshua, that is to say Yahweh, that's God's Savior, which is Emmanuel, God with us. Okay? It's interesting that you pick up on that. I am a teacher, and I have to teach in different languages. And his name in English is Jesus, but the sacred name is Yeshua in the Hebrew tongue. The same as God's name, and if you're speaking to an English audience, usually they call him God. But you slip in enough places where you translate what he said. Moses said, who am I going to say sent me? He said, you tell him Yah sent you, not Jehovah. There's no J's in the Hebrew alphabet. Yahweh. Iyah in the Hebrew tongue. I am that I am. And from that being the etymology comes his name, Yahweh the Father. So I teach all these names so that the student has an opportunity to learn that precious sacred name, the one God said, call me. Bill from Washington, what is a good study Bible? I highly recommend the Companion Bible because it outlines a chapter where most people have no idea if they open a chapter, who is it written to, and you should always rightly divide the word of God. By that is a figure of speech that means you should know when it was written, who it was written by. You should know who it is addressing, who it applies to, and who the theys and thems and so forth are that it's talking about. And the companion Bible outlines, just like you would make an outline if you were going to write a story. Well, it gives you the outline of the manuscripts whereby you can better understand what is written by rightly dividing, knowing who it's written to, what it's talking about, and so forth. Anthony from New Jersey. God said He loves us, then why do we suffer every day? Because you don't obey Him. It's real simple. You know, if you don't obey Him, well, if you're suffering from illness, what do you live close to? Is it unhealthy there? But then you could be a handicapped person and suffering from that. You set a better example by loving God than I could ever set for someone that is handicapped to declare the Savior is dynamic. It's an outstanding witness for Almighty God. So, God loves us. You can count on that. But you're suffering. Why don't you leave it to somebody else? Walk around it. You know, I never have a bad day because I always leave troubled days to somebody else. I don't have time for it. Okay. You might say, well, how do you arrange that? Well, if I see trouble coming to me, I knock it right between the eyes and get rid of it quick. Take care of business. And take care of the hard stuff first. I mean, all these little bad things that would like to ruin your day, bury them. Get them out of your life. Be a can-do type person, okay? That's the way you have a good day, okay? Just take care of business. Della from Tennessee. Where in the Bible does it say you will know your loved ones when you get to heaven? Well, from Ezekiel chapter 40 to the end is the millennium. Okay, it is the millennium heaven, the our being with Christ. And in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 25, it stipulates there you will know your father, your brother, your mother, your sister. So if you know them, you have to recognize them. Okay, it says if you're one of God's elect and they didn't make it, you can even help them a little bit with advice only. Charlene from Louisiana. I don't understand how Satan can be at all places at all times. He can't be. He's locked in heaven. But his spirit can be. And that's why you have to divide between the spirit and his body. His body is locked in heaven. But his little old spirit, his big old spirit, can go wherever he so chooses, to and fro on the earth, to deceive, to mislead, to tempt. I don't find him tempting. Every time he sets something up for you, I guarantee you it'll end up, instead of being a big, beautiful apple, it'll be a sour apple with a worm in it, okay? There's no bargains with Satan. Satan doesn't have any bargains. But, oh, he'll bargain with you if you listen to him, okay? So, there are evil spirits. They're called biblically familiar spirits, okay? And don't listen to them. Be positive, okay? And for every negative, there's a positive, as I forestated. The positive is the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God and the Son. Accept that. Commune with that Spirit. That's how you acquire that mansion written of in John 14, meno in the Greek, a resting place, is by being in them today. Not after the seventh trump. Not in heaven. Today. Find that rest. Stephen from Colorado. My mother believes that everyone is going to heaven, the sinners and the saints. In Revelation 20, it says that everybody had the mark, but the dead lived not again, lived not until the end of the 1,000 years. My mother believes that everyone is going to live in that millennium, and that is where salvation is truly going to come from. Stephen, you better listen to your mama. Your mama knows what she's talking about. I'm going to give you a little hint so you won't embarrass yourself in front of your mother. When it says in Revelation chapter 20, I'll even quote the verse 5, where it says they won't live again till the end of the 1,000 years, you better look up in your Strong's Concordance, boy, your mother's, you probably don't have one, and look at the difference between Nikos and Nikos. And you'll find they're only spiritually dead, not physically dead. It means they didn't make the cut, which if you're not careful, you're not going to. And they have to remain spiritually dead. That means going to hell if they don't change their mind. You got it? Until the end of the 1,000 years, when Satan is released a little season, and they got to prove themselves. God will not accept anyone that hasn't proved themselves. Your mother's already proved herself. She's going to stand against him. And the millennium is a time of teaching for God. Behind, God loves all of his children. And with what's being taught in this world today, not too many people have a chance to know the truth. Sherry from Mississippi, where in the Bible does it talk about the two different floods, the one that took out the dinosaurs and also Noah's flood? Well, of course, Noah's flood is taught in Genesis chapters 7, 8, 9, but he loads the boat in chapter 6. He's told to take two of every flesh above, and to build the ark. That's Noah's ark, God's flood for that time. They survived. But then you can read of another flood. It's the Kotzebue. If you've got a companion Bible, Appendix 146 really simplifies it for you. But you'll read of it. When we get to chapter 4 here in Jeremiah, he's going to tell you about that original flood that was a whopper. You know what? Eight Adamic souls sure didn't survive that one. Not one being survived that flood. Not one city survived that flood. That's why the very plates themselves are split asunder on this earth today. Okay? We'll get there in chapter 4. Don't miss it. Greg from Tennessee. Pastor Murray said that God made a man on the eighth day, another man outside of Adam and Eve. I wish he would explain further. Thank you. Not he made Adam and Eve on the eighth day. Adam in the Hebrew tongue is Ha-Adam. That has the article that I was speaking of, Ben Adam, or Ben Anthropos, earlier, okay? It means the one through which Christ will come. That's why Eve is called the mother of all living, because in biblical cord to umbilical cord, Christ would come through her womb. And you're either in Christ or you're not living. Okay. So she is the mother of all living because through her would come Messiah. Okay, but all the races were created on the sixth day. That's why we have them. I mean, look around you today. You have all the races, so that's why they're here. God created them. He called them man, and he made some of them hunters. He made some of them fishers. They each have their main thing. You can kind of tell by the races which it was. But he looked on the last verse of that chapter. It was good. He loved all the races. Okay, that's why he created them. It was good, he said. Willie from Texas, were all souls with God before we became flesh? They didn't come out from under a rock. Okay, I don't know. I can't think of any church basically that doesn't teach we all came from God. Now some of them kind of gloss it over and say it real quick. But we literally were with him. You learned that when you read the first 6 verses of this great book of Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. That meant in heaven. Okay. Well, where's heaven? Wherever God is. Okay. If he's here on earth, heaven's here on earth. If he's somewhere else, that's where it is. Okay. All souls came from God, and all souls returned to God at death. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Vicki from Idaho, can you give me some scripture on motivation? My best scripture on motivation is Proverbs chapter 26, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 14 is ever so motivating because it kind of, and I might tell you, slothful means lazy. Okay. Lazy does not bring about motivation. Okay, so it means you do not want to be connected with anything of that nature. So you read Proverbs 26:14 and see that you don't react that way, and you will be motivated to do what's right simply by understanding what Proverbs 26:14 indicates. Shirley from California. What is the Song of Moses and where is it found? I looked in Deuteronomy 30-44, but I didn't understand it. Well, it's only one chapter. You will find the title of it in Deuteronomy 31. The last verse gives you the title, the Song of Moses. And then Deuteronomy chapter 32, up to almost the end, is the Song of Moses. It'll tell you when they stop singing. It is what people sing, as it is written in Revelation chapter 15, when they're on their way to the eternity. That is to say, we even move from from this dispensation into God, the Lord's day. Kathy from South Carolina. God wanted us to call Jesus Emmanuel, but Mary and Joseph named him Jesus instead. Why do we call him Jesus instead of Emmanuel? Because one is a title, a name, the other is a title. I'm out of time. Jesus, Yeshua, Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. One explaining the other, interlocking. I'm out of time. I wish I had more. I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, letting God's Word be seen, felt, and enjoyed. Okay. Most important, it makes God's day when you read the letter He's written you. It really makes His day. And when you make His day, He's going to make yours. Stand by. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God, He will always bless you. Most important, this, you set a little time aside each day and stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus is the living Word.
We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645. 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.